Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Hey, friends, you're here at NOLA Drinks, we think. Using all caps while you tweet, if you're conducting international affairs, you don't really need to do that, do you? Hell, that's even if you can call it conducting international affairs. Friends, we got a good show coming up for you here today. It's all about Tales of the Cocktail, as you might imagine, great event that just wrapped up on Sunday. Let me tell you a little bit about what we have going on the show this week. We actually chat with Executive Director Caroline Rosen, who was on with us not too long ago, along with two very talented bartenders that also do other things in the spirits and cocktail industry, both from Atlanta, Tiffany Barrier, who is also known as the Drinking Coach, and Kiata Mincy from Pictures and Cocktails, among other things, as I mentioned. Tiffany, by the way, is also a member of the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation Grant Committee. So we talked quite a bit about that. We actually taped this interview just a touch before Tales started. So we talk a little bit about, things going on with Tales. We talk a lot about the grant program because one of the things that they did is they announced the grant's recipients. And this was the first year they've done this at Tales of the Cocktail. They gave away $250,000. Yes, friends, $250,000. A great thing. This is all part of the transition of turning Tales of the Cocktail into a true educational nonprofit. They are well on their way to do that. So we focus on that quite a bit. We talk about all kinds of other things. We have a great laugh during this interview. I think you're going to find it very entertaining. But on the grants program side of things, they had a committee of 14 leaders in the industry, got together. They had 144 letters of intent, putting in proposals. 52 full proposals were asked for of those 144. And then 11 recipients got funding from the $250,000. Now, one of the really cool things about this is they were very good about listening to the industry to inform them of what funding priority should be, as opposed to upfront saying, hey, we'll fund this type of stuff or this type of stuff, which is also very common in the grant world. They kind of listened and they used the process to identify issues that needed to be addressed through the program. And I think that's how you run an effective grant program, friends. I used to do this a long time and have a pretty good amount of experience with it. And that really is the way to do it. And I think they did a great job. You see, of the 11 recipients, some different things, people supporting the industry. For example, a group called Children of Restaurant Employees got some funding to help those that are in the hospitality industry with children support their children with some of the connected financial costs, disaster relief, other things. There's also some 86 Waste, which is addressing some stuff related to sustainability and a lot of the waste in the restaurant and bar industry. We see some professional development stuff going on. We see some work balance stuff going on. One woman who got a study, her name is Laura Green, and she's doing something on burnout, stress, and substance use in the beverage industry. She's going to collect a whole bunch of data and try and find some connections and then hopefully identify some interventions that can be done in the industry to help those of us that serve us and take care of us when we're out eating and drinking. Another program that got a grant was for the Mezcaleros of South Jalisco. A lot of threats there from global agriculture in particular. Groundwater is disappearing largely to mass avocado farming that's going on, and that really, mezcal production, we've talked about this a lot on the show, friends, really, it's a way of life. And so, great program there to, not only help protect the environment, but help support the communities that are producing mezcal. Another really cool one is there's the one called the PIN Project. This gets back to that work-life balance thing. And a gentleman named Mark Goodwin is getting some funding to basically produce a pin that people can get if they work in the service industry. And it's meant to indicate that that person is not drinking during that shift. So, the idea, we've talked about this somewhat recently on the show too, I think actually a week or two ago is our parting shot, that, every time you go out to the bar, your friends who are the bartenders or somebody you meet, it's great when they do shift shots with you, but they don't have to, and that should not be an expectation. And this is a really nice way to let people know it just stands for that shift. It may be, for people who have quit drinking entirely, which is great, but that the intention is to only let you know during that shift that they're not drinking. And I think it's a really great way to sort of silently, powerfully, indicate to somebody that you're not drinking while you're doing the gig that particular time. So some really cool stuff. We posted the article for the grant winners for the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation on our Facebook page. So if you want to see more about each of the 11 projects, please do check that out. It's really worthwhile. I'm very happy that they're doing this stuff, and I think we'll have a hand in doing some stuff with them next year here with NOLA Drinks, which I'm excited about. Wanted to mention Tales of the Cocktail overall, friends. It was a great vibe, and I'm very happy that it's gone this way. We've talked about it a lot, so I won't belabor the point too much with the new leadership and so on and so forth, but special congratulations and shout out to Neil Bodenheimer, Gary Solomon Jr., Caroline Rosen, the whole team at Tales of the Cocktail, everybody who came and participated, everyone who came to see us in New Orleans. I don't have the numbers yet. They haven't released anything that I've seen so far as the number of attendees. It certainly was a little bit smaller than recent years, but I think we know if you listen to this show why. And I was hearing lots of things in sidebar conversations, people telling me things in the leadership and stuff that certain brands that weren't able to make it this year because they pulled out to wait and see what happened, and then couldn't come back around because their budgets were already set and so on and so forth, to come to the event, have already committed to come next year. So I think it's a really fantastic thing, friends, that Tales of the Cocktail has turned a corner and is moving forward in a great way. The vibe was great this year. I had a blast. We've talked about the economic impact of it. I think we actually touch on that a little bit later in the interview. I think in the podcast only version, another shot with NOLA Drinks, which if you're getting this on the radio, I encourage you to get the podcast. You can get that at noladrinks.com or on any of your favorite podcast platforms. We get into the importance of the event to the city, and it was estimated last year, for example, that it was an $18 million economic impact to the city of New Orleans, with a lot of that focused on the hospitality industry. And as, for those of us here, and many of you probably, if you're listening from outside the area, know that, well, it's pretty slow during the summer here. So that economic shot in the arm is important. Want to mention also that they had the Spirited Awards, which is their big awards gathering and fandango that took place on Saturday evening at the Orpheum. I was lucky enough to attend with my lovely wife, Sylvia. We had a blast. They give away awards, best bar, bartenders, all kinds of stuff like that. London did really well as a city this year. The American Bar at the Savoy Hotel won a best bar, best international bar team, and a best international hotel bar. A lot of these categories for that stuff are divided between the states and then international. And there's a couple, two or three global categories. Overall, London took 7 of the global and international awards out of 14 total. And if you throw in the International Bartender of the Year, Joe Schofield, and the Best International Brand Ambassador, Ian Burrell, they both come from London. So that's really 9. So they did pretty well over there in London. Interestingly enough, nothing from Asia, which has done well for quite some time. I don't believe anybody from New Orleans won. That's a shame, but that's okay. We've got 2 beard awards in a row for outstanding bar program. Of course, French 75, not too long ago. And then Cure, our good friend Neil Bodenheimer, who we just mentioned this past year. So we'll get that right next year. We'll come back around. Wanted to mention a couple quick things about Miami. There were 3 awards, I believe, that went to Miami. It was very one of the most special part of the evening during the Spirited Awards, and an emotional part of the evening was acknowledging that the passing of John Lermeyer, and he was the guy who owned Sweet Liberty. We talked about this on the show 3 or 4 weeks ago after he passed, leaving a young son behind. So Sweet Liberty, his bar, is going to continue. It was great when they won this. They won Best American Bar Team. A bunch of the team was actually sitting right in front of us, and they got up and ran down to the stage. They gave posthumously John the Lifetime Achievement Award, which was great, and they also won in the world category, overall category, for World's Best Spirit Collection. So congratulations to the team at Sweet Liberty. It's been a tough 5 or 6 weeks for them, 7 weeks perhaps, and so they did really, really well. So that was great to see, very emotional, and you'll read about some of those stories, and we'll talk about some of that more in the future as well. One last shout out I want to mention. They do give a couple things out to different categories, and one of them is for Best New Spirit or Cocktail Ingredient, and that went to one of my favorite things, the Del Maguey Single Village Mezcal. Great product there, and so we were talking about Mezcal just a few seconds ago, and something we talk a lot about on the show, and something I talk about a lot in general. So it was great to see them win in that category. Friends, we're going to have a bunch of coverage. We taped a bunch of great interviews during Tales of the Cocktail, as we usually do, and we'll be rolling some of those interviews out in the subsequent weeks, so stay tuned for that. A lot of great folks that I got to connect with, some I knew before, some are some new ones. So that's, it was a lot of fun. And overall, great win for Tales, great win for the city of New Orleans. I'm always happy to participate. I think this was my 7th or 8th, something like that. And now that the things are are as they are, as we have well discussed and will discuss coming up on this show from several angles. It's just a big winner, friends, and everything was really, really great. I look forward to next year. Need to recover a little bit. It's one of those things, too. We'll talk about that on future shows as well. Friends, again, if you're listening on the radio, really appreciate it. If you are listening on the radio, please get the podcast, because we're going to have another shot with Nola Drinks, an extended conversation, with our guests that I mentioned before, and I'll have my parting shot that'll connect to Tales of the Cocktail, too. So there you go. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Nola Drinks Show. We're going to be back with Caroline Rosen, Tiffany Barrier, and Kiata Mincy. Come on back.
100 years my family's done it this way. Some folks call it work, but it's just another day. And in life there's always love. Comes into your heart from up above.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar, located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Rum is the chosen spirit of Palace Cafe's Black Duck Bar and features an extensive rum collection from all over the world. Be sure to join us for happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m., with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine. Look forward to seeing you soon at Palace Cafe's new Black Duck Bar.
Every afternoon when I wake up, I say a little prayer and drink up, and thanks the Lord for driving me home once more.
All right, everybody, Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land wherever you may be. Thanks for listening in here this week. Yet you know that we are in the throes of our Tales of the Cocktail coverage. It's going on. It's gone on. It'll continue to go on. That's where I'm going to leave this. Pleased to be here in the home of my friend Caroline Rosen, the newish executive director of the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation. Thank you for having us here today, Caroline.
Well, thanks for coming out. We're so happy to have you.
Absolutely. Thanks. And you were on not too long ago when we were talking about leading up into Tales. So that was a lot of fun. But we're also pleased to be joined by a couple special guests that are also here. Tiffany Barrier. Tiffany, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for having a cold one with me.
Absolutely. It's great. I know you had a solid night last night. We're actually solid. Taping this during Essence Fest. So you saw Erykah Badu.
And yes. I feel like she saw us. We didn't see her.
Right, okay.
We definitely showed up and showed out. It was
now,
amazing.
You said this was like the 21st show, right, that you've seen her. Now, is this the 21st time that she's seen you?
Yeah, it's more like 33 times.
Oh, but, 33, okay, got it.
yes, we met again for the 33rd time.
Nice.
In the span of 20 years. So.
Right, that's a long. It's like you just pick it up right where you left off, right?
We text, we email, I just had to show up.
And, it's like it's old friends, right?
I mean, I'm here.
Like the same. Hey, how are you? Right on. And Kiata Mincy. Kiata, how are you?
Hi, friends.
Hi.
All right.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and you were at the concert last night as well.
I was in the building as well. that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, fair enough.
I was there.
Fair enough. So we're going to talk a little bit. Let's start with you, Tiffany, here. Let's get a little bit of your background. You are a drinking coach. I want your job. What does that mean? I'm a drinking player, so I can be coached.
Well, good, you know, and that's what it is. I'm glad you said that, because everyone's drinking. Everybody's out there playing, but the people are lost. Sometimes I just stare at people and I look at the confusion. I don't know what I want. I don't know how I want it. I don't even know what it is. I just want it inside of me. So I just kind of saw a hole for answering questions. Every time I attended bar, every time I was at a bar, I put the glass down or the beer down, or pour something out, and I just felt the need to give that one or two fun facts, you know, nothing overbearing, you know, not showing my ego, but hey, you know, this grapefruit was squeezed from Argentina, or hey, this gin has 13 botanicals, or, you know, just dropping a dime every chance I could. And someone was like, dude, you're like coaching them. I'm like, I am.
That's cool. Yeah. You're teaching and you're coaching. What a coach does.
I ran with it. It was a game. It was just fun and a part of my service for, if anything, just, I want my guests to know what they chose is something that's, you know, confident enough to be proud that they're drinking, and it never stopped.
Yeah, do we find, I think you raised something really interesting. I think we're finding that drinkers are more interested, like, in the provenance of where things come from and so on and so forth, that it's that people want that education. They want to know what that spirit is. They want to know where something came from.
Everyone wants to feel smart about something.
Right.
And not to say that us drinkers are not that smart, but, you know, at least you can say I'm drinking, you know, 1, 2, and 3 from this. You know, feel a little snobby about your cocktail or your cold beer or wine. So I thought, let's just keep getting smarter.
Yeah.
On booze.
I like it. It enhances intelligence, doesn't it?
It does.
At a certain point. I notice that, like, I get smarter and smarter and smarter, and then I fall off the cliff.
And then you fall off.
I'm incredibly stupid. But yeah, there's that zone.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Drop zone.
It's like when I play, that's when my best pool game is. Like, I can just see vectors on the pool table, and then it just disappears. And
you're a winner. You become a winner instantly.
Exactly. Well, Kiata, what about you? So let's get a little bit of your background. You come from also service background, bartending background.
Yeah, so I've actually been bartending for a lot of years. I don't want to say because I might age myself, but it's fine. but I'm originally from Liberia, West Africa. And my mother's from LaGrange. My father is Liberian. And they kind of met in Atlanta. And that's kind of between growing up in Liberia and coming to America in 90 when we had our Civil War. I kind of just fell into the service scene, and just it evolved from there. And kind of like Tiffany, it's just something that just showing people what you can do and hoping they appreciate it. But I think for me, because I'm pictures and cocktails, I make pretty drinks. I'm kind of the vain bartender, like, here's your pretty drink. I hope you like it. There you go. Like, I hate
advanced garnish, right? We're going for advanced garnish.
Advanced garnish, you have no idea. I'm telling you, like, it would really hurt my feelings to put a brown drink in front of you. Like, that really hurts my feelings. I get sad. Like, oh, you don't. Oh, okay.
Unless it's straight whiskey.
Unless it's straight whiskey.
Then we'll take it.
But still, I want to put like a flower or a bell or, you know, a ribbon or something. I want to put something there too. But I make pretty drinks.
Yeah. How did you two meet?
She stalked me.
Oh, do tell.
I wasn't supposed to say that.
Damn it.
Okay. I don't edit the show. It's out.
Damn it. So here we go. I did stalk him. I was kicking butt at a restaurant, high-profile restaurant. One flew south on the airport. Amazing.
In Atlanta, right?
In Atlanta, yeah. Yes. Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, the largest airport in the world.
In the world.
And I have the nerve to work at the busiest
How dare you?
In the busiest airport in the world. And gain accolades. Like, it was just way, we don't even know what we were doing. But we were kicking tail, and my press was coming a lot faster than I expected. And someone just brought up the question, you know, was it like being a female bartender in Atlanta? And then they detailed it down to being, you know, was it like being a brown bartender female in Atlanta? And I literally, she always laughs, I was like, I'm brown? Like, I...
Yeah, she literally just realized that she was black. Like a few years ago.
I honestly didn't think of it that way at the time. I mean, obviously, duh, I'm a woman of color. But at the time, I was just thinking I was just a badass bartender. Like, I thought I was recognized because of my drinks, and my chef was the bomb, and my location was everything, and... Then someone was like, no, you're a female. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I went to a category, and then they put it into a culture category, and I was stunned. So I kind of got a little weird about the interview because I had friends that were women of color, bartenders, who made better drinks than I did, I thought. So I just kind of, this is a little bit, we're kind of aging ourselves a little bit before Instagram. So I couldn't just pull up.
That wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't.
How kind of you,
I'm trying to give us some youth here. Okay?
How kind of you. Thank you.
Well, Facebook was big for sure. I mean, I'm not going back to MySpace, but I remember, you know, knowing a few of my girls in town and knowing some of my comrades from afar, other cities. But I was like, dude, Atlanta, we're crushing it. Like, there's all these women from the club scene, the hotel scene, the Latin scene, different genres of cocktails. And they were women of color, and they were my friends, and they're gorgeous. So I stopped Kiata first. Tokiwa Sears and I were already good friends. We worked together at One Flew South. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm just going to go sit at these girls' bars. And we knew of each other. We just didn't know
each other, yeah.
Because it was just a degree of separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in those circles of service.
And I would just sit at her bar, and she'd be like, you know, hey, I know, that's Tiffany. She's a bartender. And we'd be like, hey, girl. And I was like, nope, I got a plan. I want to just put us together like a super group.
That she did.
Uh-huh. That she did. And I did. And it took me, I don't know, a little less than a year to make them become friends, which I didn't have to. Just, do you know this person? Connect the dots. And
sure, put people in the same space.
And yeah. Then we drank a lot. And over drinks and
social
bacon.
Lubricant. Then people become friends.
We drank a lot. We ate a lot of bacon. And
well, not Sadia. Sadia doesn't eat
bacon, but eat bacon.
But she drinks old fashions.
We drink a lot of whiskey. We called a buddy, had him bring some bottles.
And we cry a lot too.
Cried it out. and then we've been inseparable.
Awesome.
Ever since then.
Yeah, well, cool. We're kind of a gang.
Squad.
Squad.
Oh, squad, not gang. Gang
Someone
sounds violent. We don't approve violence.
We're using that Taylor Swift term, the squad thing?
The squad.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do on the Taylor Swift note. We're gonna take a little break here on the show. We're going to let that sink in for a second. This will be the one and only time you ever hear me say the words Taylor Swift on this radio show. I promise you. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show. Come on back.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Chicken and a chocolate cake. I'll bring a little home food to keep awake. Now hurry, for goodness sake. Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening in today. We are here at the home of my friend Caroline Rosen, the executive director of the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation. And Caroline, we're drinking some Greyhounds, which I want to start off by mentioning that. I think this is important. Everybody, we are doing radio, but everybody is now doing the swim.
That's right.
We are now doing the swim and the glass shimmy. We have the swim and the glass shimmy. So we are chatting with Caroline Rosen, Kayata Mincy, and Tiffany Barrier. And thank you all for being here and doing the swim and the shimmy. And cheers.
Cheers.
So Caroline, we got a little bit of a Kayata and Tiffany's background before. But let's talk about how did you get involved with these folks and what are they doing for Tales of the Cocktail?
Absolutely. So, oh Lord. Well, Tiffany and I, our story. We may have to have a couple more cocktails. Yeah.
That's what segment breaks are for.
But no, she's been a dear friend of mine for a really long time, and I've been so happy to know her. She's one of the first people that I met when I really entered the food and bev world. And it's just, you can tell by sitting here and listening, like, these are two human beings that you just want to be around. Mm-hmm. And their passion is contagious, their energy is contagious, and they're just wonderful people. So how I got involved is I was just lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time, and I'm very, very lucky to call them friends. And so when I took over as the Tales director, not even a year ago, one of my first calls was to Tiffany. And I was just like, Tiffany, I've been at this with you for a long time. I need you, sister.
So that was you got conscripted. I think we're going to use the word conscripted, it sounds like.
Yeah. Once I saw her name cross the phone, I was like, this is good, but where is she going to go?
Yeah, what does she want? What does she want?
Yeah.
But I knew that she wanted something good, and I knew that she wanted something that I could probably assist with, whether it was, you know, some project or a favor. I knew it was something that I probably was going to say 90% of a yes, because we've had a trust factor for some time. We've connected heart to heart a long time ago, so I knew that it wasn't something that was going to dig myself a hole or her. So I was like, I listened to the rest of the spiel and I was like, yes, yes.
Get up close. Yeah.
She, yeah, I believed in the tone. I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to be something good, and I wanted to be a part of it, and it was going to be something fun, and it's going to make, you know, make the world a better place, for lack of,
Well, yeah, and I think, what we're talking about here is that with the change in leadership and focus at Tales of the Cocktail, and we talked about this at the beginning of the show, the grant program, which we're going to talk about here, but who the winners were. And so it's an opportunity for Tales of the Cocktail to address issues that are important in the bartending and spirits industry. And something that you and I touched on, Caroline, last time that you were on was the idea of empowering and giving money and resources to the experts to deal with the problem, because that's where the solutions are going to be found.
Yeah, and I think it was really interesting when we started this process. So Tiffany is one of the 12 people that comprise our grants committee and have really led the charge in helping us figure out the best way to support and give back to our spirits and hospitality community. But what's been really interesting is, we've seen experts, we've seen people that care in a way that we were able, and I know that I mentioned this last time we talked, to open it up and let them tell us. So at the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation, we educate, we advance, and we support. And those are those three pillars. But within those three pillars, to have the grants committee sit around and talk and review and to get to hear everyone's story, there's so many different ways to do that. Everything from a pen saying that, this is a cool pen. I'm sober tonight as I'm working behind the bar. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have drinks tonight. And that's important because, maybe you're going through something, maybe you're pregnant, maybe you don't drink, but there's so many ways that, that's a way that we're able to support the committee, to the greater community. And all that from, we need to focus on what is sleep deprivation like? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a brand ambassador, a bartender, a bar owner, and the hours that you're working, if you don't require, or if you don't start setting those boundaries of this is what you need, it's going to lead to a destructive overall,
You need to find that work-life balance. Yeah. Right? It's actually something that we've been talking about, as you know, on the show quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Recently, and talking about the ideas of, one of the things that we talked about not too long ago on the parting shot on the show 2-3 weeks back was that don't expect bartenders to do shots with you. And I was talking about how there's sort of choices to be made by companies, meaning venues, choices to be made by the individuals in the industry, meaning bartenders, servers, chefs, whatever we're talking about, brand ambassadors, and then those of us that are the customers. And these choices need to be made in ways that are responsible to everyone. And one of the points that I tried to make was that everybody needs to be set up for success. And as it relates to the company, I'm not saying you should not let people drink on the job, but you need to set your people up for success if they don't want to in a given shift or at all.
Yeah. And that, that's one of the things I'm so excited to have of this opening cohort that we were able to fund. But, it's been great having Tiffany. It's been great having all these different voices. I will say, I've been lucky to be in the nonprofit world for quite some time. And as we've been working through this, I can safely say this has been the most engaged group of people, because as we were talking off the air before everyone joined us, it was an 800-page document that we sent Tiffany and the grants committee.
Conscripted. I'm going to go back to that. You're like, really? This is my reading list? Thank you.
It's called email hell. It's like, what?
I'm surprised the attachment even fit in the email pipeline.
Yeah. So was I like, it's when you,
right, Dropbox,
it was,
right,
when you leave your phone, you open your laptop. Like, what? Yeah, for sure. I mean, the subjects of, bartending or working in the industry, brand ambassador, sales, that's what you do to go to work. And it is a beautiful, fun, exciting, collaborative spirit world. And outside of it, you kind of forget, whatever you're going through. And that's something I always look at is people are parents. People are sisters. People are husbands or wives. People have dogs. People have a life outside of the bar. And we get so passionate because our careers are focused on service, so we have to give. Like, we don't take when we go to work. Some people go to work and take. We go to work and we give. And sometimes to give, it takes a little push. You know, sometimes you gotta.
It takes a lot out of you. Sometimes it's time you can be tired.
It takes a lot. You
getting
know?
Through a shift with shift shots. Getting, I mean, you get it.
Shift shots, right? A couple of cigarettes, a disco nap, a cheeseburger. You know, unhealthy eating. Did I just list my?
just heard from a friend.
Asking for a friend. But you really never know. So it's been really, really rewarding to get vulnerable and share our stories and I'm bringing this word to a soft thing. Me too. You know, mm-hmm. and not just being me too on harassment, but me too. I'm a parent. Me too. I have dogs. Me too. I have to pay for a sitter. Me too. You know, commuting back and forth. Is this me too? I'm trying to get off cigarettes. Me too. You know, I haven't dated in a year. You know, just those kind of subjects. So these grants that have come in, we got personal. I know I went through reading them. I made them nighttime stories. I could mm-hmm. only read 5 to 10 a night, depending. Some were really short, some were really long. Mm-hmm. And you're reading, you know, because here are these people, and here I'm trying to connect with who wants it. You know, I'm sitting, I'm trying to visualize them at their computer with their business partner going, dude.
They're sharing their passion. And
dude, let's just say this. Let's say this. Let's really show that we care. So I got involved. I'm like, oh gosh, you know. I didn't think about that, you know, from footwear to stretching, yoga.
Yeah.
Let's
do this. Can we take a little break here real quick? And then let's hold that thought. We're going to come right back, friends. We're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on a corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm just looking for a woman that ain't got no man. My bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Yes, I went up on a mountain.
Restore Retreat is a coastal nonprofit organization working in the heart of the Barataria and Terrebonne Basins, from the Mississippi River to the Atchafalaya. We work every day to restore Louisiana's coast community and culture with our mission of implementing long-term and large-scale projects for our irreplaceable region. We'll hope you join us in supporting the solution. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and online at www.restoreorretreat.org.
Down yonder, down on the farm, down yonder, where I was born, way down yonder on the farm, raising chicken and raise that corn, down yonder, down on the farm.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening in today. Pleased to be chatting with Tiffany Barrier, Caroline Rosen, and Kay Ottomansi. Thanks for joining me today. Had a good time so far. Let's close the loop a little bit, Caroline, here on the grants program. We talked about some of the grant awardees at the top of the show, but we want to make some points about how the program works and will continue to work.
Absolutely. So I just want to tell everyone that's out there listening to us and anyone that's interested that this is a growing and living project. Every single person of the 144 LOIs that submitted to us will have a feedback or an opportunity for a feedback session. If you have an idea, if there's something that you're passionate about, we have so many amazing staff, as well as our grants committee, as well as our board, that we want to hear. This is something that if you didn't get the grant this year, I don't want you to be discouraged. This is something that we want to help you grow to the process, because so many of the things that we learned about through this whole process, we were passionate about. It just wasn't quite the right time. So I just wanted to voice again that please don't be discouraged. Please know that we are 100% committed and to continuing to give feedback. And please reach out. We're here, 365.
Awesome. Let me ask you this, because we've kind of touched on two or three, I think, important issues that the grant program is looking at supporting. So we talked about work-life balance a little bit, and I think we touched a little bit on briefly about sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. Also, by using the grant process, what were some of the areas that right out of the gate that y'all were looking to fund? And then what are some of the things, maybe some topic areas that have popped up that maybe weren't on the radar.
Well, you know, I think, and Tiffany can hop in, but I think that there's sustainability. There is the work-life balance that we've talked about. There is the sexual harassment. Like, how do we make sure that we're educating ourselves around that? And honestly, so many of the ones that we heard from, we loved it. It's just, how do we get you to a place that we know that this can be a sustainable idea,
right,
and that we know that this is something that can be a building block. I think that's really important with the grants process, is to know, you know, a grant is to come in and to help with a portion of a project.
Right.
You know, most of the time when you're looking to get a grant, you want other people to have a buy-in per se, mm-hmm, and to making sure that it'll be successful, because that's how we get things done, right? So I think that, again, it was a spectrum of things, and we want to see that as long as they fit in, you know, advancing, supporting, and educating the industry. But I don't know if you feel differently. I've been talking a lot.
No, I'm with you on that one. I some of those entries were beyond my thoughts, you know, production. I was like, oh, yeah, it's a part of enhancement and education, but mm-hmm, having equipment to get your word out.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Or
okay,
filming your cocktail segment, how you make cocktails at home. Yeah. Just the different levels of, you know, making the
community. So like professional development stuff.
Professional development, things that they'll help. But then it's everything from like disaster relief. Like, yes, how do we make sure, you know, in my past nonprofit lives, we always had to pull from a general fund to make sure that we were able to do that. What if we already have a fund set up every year where we can help those families that hit natural? I mean, these are things that hit home to us. And I was like, that makes sense. I've lived through it. Sadly, so many of us that are listening have lived through it. Mm-hmm. And so it's everything from making sure that we're having diverse people captured on film. You know, like, how are we making sure that those stories are being told that aren't typically maybe sometimes told as much as other stories, to natural disaster, to making sure that we're signaling to the community we're drinking or we're not drinking, to making sure that we're keeping up with health and wellness. I mean, it's just such a gambit, but I think it's been really excited, and I'm excited to see, you know, how this first cohort goes, and to see what they can accomplish. And I mean, we got to start talking about next year.
Yeah, it's already time for next year. It's time for next year.
Yeah, this one's going to be 1,600 pages, Tiffany, instead of 800. It's going to break Dropbox. That's chaos.
Email hell.
Well, did y'all find that you're seeing maybe a couple different handful of different projects that were talking about some of the same issues and saying, hey, we need to get you two together to reapply, combine forces, and say this, here's two pieces of the puzzle to put it together?
Yeah, I think that that's something that we did see, and it's obviously very sensitive because we're very we make sure that we are understanding that when people share this information with us, it is very confidential. But in the spirit of hospitality and in the spirit in which they are applying, we are trying to get groups of people together to say, hey, you know, let's not all try to recreate the wheel here.
Right.
And if y'all are doing something similar, are there ways to use, you know, the resources that you have to really make an impact? And even if you could be partners, but we're doing that again with making sure that everyone knows that this is a very confidential process and that we don't want to overshare, but making those connections.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to go about it. Right? You two should talk. That's all I would say is you two should just talk, and then here's your phone. Here's the phone number. Here's the email, and move
on. We'll connect
you. We'll connect you, and then you take
it from
there.
You're doing good.
Exactly. Perfect. So let's do this, because we have about 3-4 minutes left before we're going to close out the radio segment. Let's talk about, Tiffany, how do we connect with you as the drinking coach? And, you know, because you do consulting and all kinds of stuff like that. How do people find you?
You find me on Google.
You jerk.
I say really? That. You all find right. me on Google. I am the drinking coach on Instagram and on Facebook. I say this about the website. It's pulled down because I've put my hands in more categories than I wanted to. So, you know, revising that because my heart has gotten so involved with other projects again, you know, which makes me segue into what Kiata and I are doing. Beyond the glass.
Beyond the glass.
We realize we're just not putting it in the glass. We're touching so many different subjects. So I'd say you could look at the website, but not just yet. But follow me on Instagram. I post a lot of fun stuff. If you Snapchat, I'm the drinking coach as well.
Cool. So, and you'll let us know when there's
absolutely,
more Rana
absolutely.
So we can
it's,
share
it's
that.
Nonstop and I can't keep up with it. So I'll just be honest about that. I'm putting it all on one landing page is under construction, but you can follow me on all the social media, Modern Way, the drinking coach.
Awesome. Well, we got about 2 minutes, Kayata. So with you then, tell us, give me like a 1 minute version of what to expect from Beyond the Glass. What do you know now?
Fun. No, I'm lying. with Beyond the Glass, it's really something that's just evolving and growing with the two of us. We want to touch farmers, bartenders, restaurant groups, anyone who is interested in cocktails and learning and history and diversity and just anything. We want you to know us. And that's it. But you can find me on Pictures and Cocktails, spelled correctly, no Z in
Pictures. Pictures and Cocktails.
Pictures and Cocktails.
Okay, right on. And Caroline, also too, so Tales of the Cocktail, tell people where we can find Tales of the Cocktail online and all that. Did I just say it? Did I just add the .org?
You just added the .org. Yeah, you can obviously find us there, Tales_of_the_cocktail. And I'm Caroline N. Rosen at Instagram.
Yeah, on the gram. On the gram. We got it. Awesome.
Yeah, Carolyn and Rosen. Awesome.
And it's great, y'all, to chat with you. And it's great to see that that you all have started to work together to do what you're doing. And it's also, Caroline, great to see what Tales of the Cocktail has been up to. And I think readdressing things in a very significant and important way. So congratulations.
Absolutely.
On that.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Well, here's what we're going to do, y'all. We're going to close off the radio portion of the show here. And then what we're going to do is, I think you should stick around. If you're listening on the radio, go get the podcast. That's what you should really do anyway. And if you're listening to the podcast, as I always say, this will happen to you anyway, whether you want to or not. We're going to take a brief little musical interlude, and then we're going to come back with another shot with Nola Drinks, where we're going to continue to chat with Tiffany, Kayata, and Caroline. So everybody, remember to be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until then, cheers, y'all. Everybody, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Nola Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you. Hope you enjoyed the first part of our interview there with Tiffany Barrier, Kiata Mincy, and Caroline Rosen, talking largely about Tales of the Cocktail. We're going to continue chatting with two-thirds of that group, Kiata and Tiffany. Stick with us. Caroline had to start to get ready for an obligation she had to go to. As you know, we were taping in her house. So you will hear her provide some musical soundtrack to part of our interview. I'm going to guess that it was probably Gin Greyhound driven to a certain degree. But taking her place will be Daniela Jugman. And Daniela is the chief of staff for Tales of the Cocktail, a very interesting and talented woman in her own right. We'll hear from her and continue that conversation. And then I'll be back with my parting shot after that. Want to give a special shout out, as always, to my good friends, the band Bon Bon Vivant here in New Orleans, who provide us with that terrific theme song for another shot with Nola Drinks, Saints and Sinners, off their album Paint and Pageantry. I'd be sure to check them out, bbvband.com. Brief musical interlude. Then we're going to continue with another shot with Nola Drinks with our interview. And then, as I said, I'll be back with my parting shot. Here we go. All right, everybody, welcome to another Shot with Nola Drinks. Hey, it's Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in and sticking around. So we are chatting still with Tiffany Barrier and Kay Ottomancy, but now we have been joined by Daniela Jagerman. Daniela, welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Get up close there. Don't be shy.
I'm a soft talker, so I'll try to get as close as I can.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So, Daniela, you're the chief of staff there at the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation.
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So how'd you get involved with Tales real quick so we know your background?
I actually worked with Caroline, and she kind of came to me and said, we have this crazy potential project and would you want to be involved? And just being in New Orleans, I think that and having a lot of people within New Orleans in the industry and kind of seeing a way to provide a nonprofit and like give back to them in that way, particularly in like healthcare, inclusion, sexual harassment for sure. I think that I just saw an opportunity to help her make the foundation what she envisioned, along with the board of directors that we have. And I am a workaholic and kind of really terrible at like wanting to tackle huge projects. So it seemed really amazing to kind of jump in the way that we have. I basically just wanted to help her and our board make sure that Tales of the Cocktail became Tales of the Cocktail Foundation and stayed in New Orleans and got to give back to all these lovely people.
That's great. Are you from here, Daniela?
I'm not from here. I'm a military kid, but I've been here for 4 years.
Gotcha. So you came on board with Tales when Caroline started?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So we're talking about, let's talk about this because this was an interesting topic during the break. We were talking about an aloe liqueur that you all are working with. And I had read about, there we have some, that's the background theme music that Caroline has now provided for us. We're going to market that to the company, Caroline, because it's still our...
We know the girls to help with that.
There you go. So, and it's a, I read about this some months ago, but an interesting product. And I just thought we'd talk about it for a second because it's kind of cool when y'all are working
with it. Yeah, Charo. I hope I say it right, but Charo.
Churro's the little fried.
Churro's a little fried thing we want when we get a margarita sometimes. But no, it's a really, really cool brand. The packaging is like a cute round bottle. It's an aloe liqueur. And we all know aloe vera is, you know, naturally it's like great for the skin.
Anti-inflammatory.
Nothing says no when it comes to aloe vera. And they have the nerve to have it. And a spirit form, drinking form.
How dare them?
Do such a thing. I discovered
people.
It. I'm back in February. Making us taste great plant juice.
Ugh.
We ended up, Kiana and I went to James Beard House back in February. And we wanted a really southern feel and vibe in the cocktail menu. And she said, I want to do a collard green juice. I'm like, okay, you know, doesn't sound bad. So using fresh collard green juice.
Green apples,
lemon. Actually, the spirit was the last thing we thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And this aloe liqueur. And I'm like, like aloe juice. And she brought a bottle over and we were sitting in the lab and it was like, woo-wee. Yes, this is something we could drink all day long. I said earlier, like it's like Aperol. But not.
Mm-hmm.
So the Aperol was clean. Like
it's really clean.
Tea, clear and a little less bitter herbal.
Yeah, you're taking like the whole, the bark side of it, the bitterness, and you're brightening up with, I don't know, sunshine. I don't know what's inside of it, but it's incredible. And obviously, you know, aloe is the enhancer there with the grain spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just pitched them, but they're great.
And there's also spearmint too. So it's like this clean... the word I keep saying is clean. It's just this clean, delicious.
Who doesn't
light.
Want clean in your mouth?
Yeah.
I mean, some people don't. Or not.
Hands up on that. Or not.
This is the podcast only. You can say whatever. Dirty or clean.
Oh, this is the after spot. This is the after spot
after
part.
Hours?
Okay, after hours. Welcome to the. Never mind.
Yeah, Chaotic, this is another shot with Nola Drinks. You take that for what it needs to be.
Oh, wow. Lord.
Yes. No, it's cool. It's like it's so cool to be considered a creative and a bartender in the same, you know, sense, because people think because we're drying it in a glass, which we are, that we drink it. Well, we do drink it all day. I guess we are.
We do.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, it's marketing research, so it's fine.
But we get the pleasure of tasting
R&D.
Some yes. R&D, you know? Yeah. You read books, we drink bottles. Whatever gets you there. Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
No, it's just really cool to see brands come out with great flavors to enhance and keep us creative.
Yeah, well, yes, so I was going to say, because, I mean, like, aloe, I read about this some months ago, and as we were talking about before, mm-hmm. and when we were off the air, I hadn't tasted it yet, but there's just this explosion of not only people rediscovering old liqueurs and spirits, mm-hmm. or they're being re-imported when they stop being imported to the States anyway, but then all this new stuff, I mean, what sprung to mind a few years ago is a Tales of the Cocktail, the Ancho Reyes mm-hmm. Chili liqueur, mm-hmm. and I remember meeting the young man who was the distiller, and he had not launched the product yet, or I think maybe he had just rolled it out into Texas and California or mm-hmm. something like that, but it was brand spanking new, and that's a really cool thing about Tales, is that there's an opportunity to see and explore some of this stuff. We have this explosion of stuff out there now.
Explosion.
Yeah.
It's everything.
I think it's really cool because, like, at Tales, you see things. It's like the preview. It's like how people have Fashion Week and you see the preview for... We get to see the preview stuff that's going to come out that people may or may not see. It, and a lot of it is important on what we think, even though I don't think my opinion means much. But, you know, people really kind of care what we think because, again, we're on the hand of the consumer and they are like... Well, if Tiffany likes it, it's got to be good. Or if Kiata's drinking it, oh, it's got to be good. You know, and it's great. And it's also kind of a lot of pressure.
It's fun. I can't believe we have a job in drinking.
I know.
It is the trade show that you want to go to. You mm-hmm. know, you're like.
And we're always the cool kids.
No matter what.
We're always the cool kids.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, Danielle, let me throw a question your way real quick, because as we talk about Tales, with the brands, that was a question I actually asked Caroline a few weeks back when she was on the show. You know, making sure that the small guys still get an opportunity to be there, like we're talking about.
Absolutely.
It's an important part of this, isn't it?
Of course. We really wanted to put an emphasis on small and local distilleries this year. And it's something that we want to grow with in 2019 as well. It's important to encourage people to continue to create. And it just is stimulating to everyone. And we want to be able to allow everyone to come to the conference and be able to discover things mm-hmm. And come back with some idea of like how they can contribute in that way as well.
Yeah, and giving these folks a platform to share their product in front of an audience who's going to care. And I think as you all were just saying, people look at what you do, what you stock on your back bar, mm-hmm. what you featured in a cocktail on your happy hour list or whatever we're talking about. This is tremendous brand exposure, and this is that education thing, Tiffany, that we were talking about before about as being a drinking coach. But when you're behind the stick, any bartender has an opportunity to be an educator.
Yeah, I mean, we're educators, conductors, you know, you see the groups out there and you're like, look what I'm doing. Like,
Sometimes enablers, but enablers. That's frowned upon. That is frowned upon.
That's a topic for another show.
Being frowned upon or being an enabler?
Well, either.
Okay.
We'll go with enabler because I get frowned upon all the time.
Me too. I got it. Me too. It happens. I got it.
Well, let's talk about this, y'all, because as listeners are hearing this now, we're 2-3 weeks probably removed. But when we're taping this, we're right in Essence Fest. And so you guys are here doing stuff. Both Tales, the cocktail, participating in Essence Fest, and then Keanu, you and Tiffany also. How's it been? What you got going on?
It's cool. We've Kiata and I have done this together for 2 years, and I've done it 2 years without Kiata, and watching Essence Festival explode into a food and beverage category was cool when it started a couple of years back. I want to say maybe it's been 5 to 6 years mm-hmm. since they even put that as a segment. And so having, you know, Estelle's has categories of where you are in the industry or your life, and offering education for that essence like that. And it's so cool. It's like, wait a minute, you're coming to a festival for the music or maybe a product or
a book or a celebrity or some music.
And then you look around and you try not to pinpoint it, but it's targeted for women of color. Mm-hmm. And you look around and you're like, wait a minute, all of a sudden, 500,000 women of color from around the world have come together to party in New Orleans. It's like mm-hmm. our birthday. It's quite interesting. This year, it kind of hit me. I was looking around, and it's some great eye candy, good and bad. I wasn't looking so good myself last night. Everyone's just
out
there.
This
is a no judgment zone.
You know, right? Hey, I just thought we were all comfortable in the family. I looked a mess last night because you're just free. You're like, I don't really care.
No bra Tina's out.
I'm in the city. I'm in a city with energy. I'm in a city that it's hot and fun, and there's other people that look just like me. I mean, we don't look alike, but we're like, I get it. And then we're all coming together for some really cool stuff. So it was pretty cool to jump on the stage and talk cocktails, you know, because, of course, we're in New Orleans, we're drinking.
Well, and that's a big part of Essence Fest, and maybe people don't know either. If you're listening here in New Orleans, if you don't attend and you're not familiar, if you're hearing this somewhere else and you kind of maybe know a little bit about what it's about, there's all kinds of great educational stuff. There's seminars that go on. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, you know, going to see some headlining act. There's
yeah,
all kinds
it's
of
a lot.
We
were health and wellness, beauty, yeah, hair, skin, makeup, just
entrepreneurial stuff.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Money, financing, a lot.
It's really nice to see. Last night we were looking around and we wondered how many people come into the city for the concerts versus how many just come to see the convention. So. From the train out yesterday, day one was they're ready.
Yeah.
That's right. Cool. It's huge, and there's music going. They're playing some of New Orleans' best music and mixing it with, you know, different genres of music.
National headliners and stuff.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Look, I mean, it's such an important thing that you know, that's going on in the city too. I think and maybe Danielle, how long have you been in New Orleans, Danielle?
4 years.
So 4 years. So yeah. I think, tell me what you think here, you know, being a resident. I think there's also a little bit of a sea change that's gone on with Essence, mm-hmm, as far as, yeah, how the city is receptive to it. Because there was a lot of shit, this is the podcast, so I think someone's going to say shit. There was a lot of shit that would go on where, frankly, people would close. They would close their restaurants quite deliberately during this weekend and all of that. And I think we are, and we know this, and starting to see that people are starting to pull their head out their ass, maybe a little bit.
Well, the great thing about Essence and Tales of the Cocktail is that it actually allows people to stay in New Orleans and make a living wage. And Black people also support the city in a phenomenal way. It's really awesome for me. I was just running some errands and to drive by Morrow's and to see it packed. And that's a brand new Black-owned restaurant. So I think that it's important to keep Essence in New Orleans. They have a new change in their ownership. I think that the city should embrace it because Essence embodies everything that New Orleans embodies, which is really awesome. It's like Tiffany was saying, it's brilliant to see people come internationally and come to New Orleans in the hottest month of the year.
Yeah.
At least one of the two or three.
Yeah.
Right.
And like to kind of, I know it's important for Tales of the Cocktail Foundation this year to team up with Essence and be able to bring in Tiffany and like have her do everything that she does well and show her professionalism. I mean, we should be able to go to a conference or a festival in this way and see award-winning and phenomenal professional bartenders in the same way that we see award-winning phenomenal chefs. Mm-hmm. And you don't get that anywhere outside of Tales of the Cocktail. Mm-hmm. So we really want to start supporting our people in that way by showing everyone that they are professionals and craftsmen of their own. I think that it's amazing that New Orleans as a city is taking the time to recognize that Essence shouldn't be a pain in anyone's back because it's actually putting money in people's pockets.
Yeah, and I don't want to trivialize this because there's a lot of things in play here, but you know, it's an estimated $250 million economic impact on the city. And Danielle, very much as you said, in what we call low season here,
yeah,
right? Slow months out of the year. So just straight up, if you look at it from an, it's kind of like Tales, right? If you, mm-hmm, look at it from an economic standpoint, it's amazingly important to the city. And, absolutely, you know, this is probably something that we would get into on a different show. But if you're listening from outside the New Orleans area, the New Orleans economy is based on tourism. And tourism in this city is based largely on the hospitality industry, more than almost anywhere else on the planet, I would argue.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have amusement parks. We don't have that stuff going on. This is about food and drink and music and these things and what we do. And the people that work in the hospitality industry, it's a diverse group of people. It's a lot of African Americans that work in the hospitality industry. It's the backbone of the economy in the city.
Absolutely. It's our biggest industry.
By far.
Yeah.
And the people that work in it are what make it happen. And so this matters greatly.
It's like ABCs in 1, 2, 3.
Yes, it is.
It's, you know, we can say that. We have this conversation all the time. And sometimes you have this eureka moment where you're like, duh. I mean, guys, it's food and beverage. And I've been saying it, you know, I keep saying it over and over. Food and beverage. Like, this is 3 times, 4 times a day. This is something you have to do, whether it's water or...
Everyone eats some
drinks,
you
have
right?
to drink something.
Yeah, right.
And you have to eat something in order to, like, live. So it's just, it blows my mind that some of it gets pushed into a category of, I don't know, uneducated or just a service industry versus, like, services. You well, just serve. I'm like, actually, you just don't serve. You just got that, like...
Yeah,
when people hit that moment, like people who are not in the industry, or they just go, wow, like I really get it. I'm like, eureka. Like when it hit you that this was like something, like being kind to one another, like speaking to someone, handing someone something, saying thank you. I mean, just the simplest, well, we think simple, like 10 basic steps of life. It's not a thing. So it's cool that there is like a... As you say, what kind of sucks that I hear here? Tourism for some cities, yet culture goes the other way. I don't know. It's
right.
How can you not eat and drink? Like, it's such a vibrant and needed industry.
There's the social component. There's the living component.
Mm-hmm.
The there's sustenance that. Component, and then there's the social component where we break bread together, and this is what this town is really built on in many ways.
It's amazing.
Kiara, you had something you
wanted to say? Oh, I was just going to say something because I felt left out. I was going to say that I really feel like, because we always have this conversation, a lot of times people go places not necessarily because the food's great or the drinks happen to be great. They go there to see the person. You know, how many times you go somewhere and you see your favorite bartender and you know no matter what you're going through, when you see that, hey, girl, how you doing? It just, everything leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of the hospitality thing. And I think a lot of people... don't get that. A lot of people treat us like the help, and it's like, you know, we're still here. We're choosing to take care of you. We're choosing to be here because a lot of us have degrees and have other aspirations, have other things that we don't have to do, but we choose to do this and right. we love it. But a lot of times we're having this conversation. A lot of times people go places not necessarily because, oh, I don't want to go here, such and such and this is this, but you know your girl is at the bar. You know you're going to have a good time, and you know whatever you're thinking about that's going to is going to change your entire energy, your entire mood, your entire everything going there and seeing a face that you know.
Kiara, tell me what you think about this, because you all know this, we use this term in the industry, or I think it's kind of become a little bit cliche almost, but creating the vibe in venues like this, in bars and restaurants, where it's the so-called third place, right? And to me, to create a place that is effectively an effective third place, it has to be not just where I'm going and getting McDonald's consideration, if that makes sense. I want your personality. I want your camaraderie. I want your professionalism when I go there. At least for me, that's what clicks. That's where I feel comfortable going places, where I feel that the people that are working are our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these people are my friends. I see them outside of their work shifts.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're people too. You know, we like to laugh and play with puppies. Well, some people don't like puppies. But, you know, we like to laugh and hang out and have a good time. And I just think it's really important that people remember that we're all people too. And we're all here together. And honestly, as many times as we've sat in front of people and talked to people, we're all the same. We really all are going through the same thing. We all love or hate our job. We all have family drama. We're all the same. And to have someone sitting there, even if they're at the table at the bar with you, that knows what you're going through, is always better. Mm-hmm. It enhances everything.
And that works both ways.
Yeah.
That works both ways.
Yeah, it does.
It's definitely both ways.
It's therapy.
It's rewarding.
We're therapists.
It's rewarding.
Yeah, in part. I mean,
we're liquid therapists, but we're therapists. I got my degree from, never mind. I drink you. That's the silly part. Don't listen. I don't know. They found me in the parking lot, y'all. I swear. I don't.
Well, anybody have anything to add before we close out here? No?
We're good. No. Sounds like
high five? All drinks matter. All cocktails matter.
Talk all day.
Yeah, so we're, and we'll
chat
we're,
about
we're,
it. So I'm like,
we'll do it again.
I'm going to say no, because I'm like, well, I no. I, we, it's just a great subject to talk about. But it's alcohol. It's booze. It's safe. And it's just a nice way to have a platform and people listening to it and growing with it. It's exciting.
It's fun.
Left or right, you know, blue or purple. It's just coming together and seeing it through tales, through its wash away and rumors and left and right. It's just really nice to see it like start to make some sense.
Yeah.
Cocktails too. Like people are starting to be like, I know what a drink is, you know, and not being basic. So it's just all exciting right now.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kiata, Daniela, Tiffany. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. We'll do it again.
Let's do it again.
So friends, hey, we're going to take just a brief little musical interlude, and I'll be back with my parting shot.
Bye.
Come on,
bye.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome to the parting shot. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Tiffany, Kiata, Caroline, and Daniela. We had a lot of fun taping that, as you can imagine, both during the segments, and I'm guessing you can probably see how we had a good time in between the segments as well. So special thanks to Caroline for hosting us that interesting and fun conversation. Friends, before we get into the heart of the parting shot, I wanted to touch on something here that I didn't quite get to at the top of the show. When we were talking about John LeMayer and his passing, another poignant moment happened, and I want to give a special shout out to Tales of the Cocktail. John has left behind a young son. Radic is his name, and I believe he is 15 years old. After John's passing, the bar community in Miami and beyond very much rallied around Radic and set up a fund to help support his future. And in keeping with that, the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation, when the presentation of the Lifetime Achievement Award posthumously was being given, Tales of the Cocktail Foundation presented a $10,000 check to that young man's fund. So shout out to Tales of the Cocktail for doing that. Another very touching and, as I said, poignant moment during the Spirited Awards. So, hey, another thing that happened during the show is, you know, they gave out a bunch of awards, as we know, and a couple of them as they relate to the bar category. In the United States specifically, the best American bar overall, located in Chicago, called Lost Lake, and the best new American bar, located in Seattle, called Navy Strength. Now, both of these are tiki-themed or tiki-inspired bars, and I was reading an article in Condé Nast Traveler online just a couple days ago after the awards were over, and they're talking about, you know, this trend towards tiki. Well, I think we kind of know that's been going on for a little while, especially here in this country. We had our good friend Jeff Beach Bumberry on some weeks ago. This has been a thing for a while, but I appreciate their point. We see these two awards being given, but I think perhaps what's a little bit more interesting when we look a little closer at these two bars, we see something maybe a little bit different. And what we're seeing is a trend towards recognizing diversity. In the case of Lost Lake, the bar team is primarily, the majority are women. In the case of Navy Strength, and this was, I think, very interesting during the acceptance speech, the bar is owned by Anu Elford and her husband, Chris. Anu is the child of immigrants, obviously a woman. And they were talking about these aspects of having women on the team and, having people who are people of color, didn't say it in so many words, but on the team. And I think it's nice that we start to see this trend towards recognizing diversity. Now, I think we know in all of business and in all fields, diversity is incredibly important. There are the ethical and moral considerations that are there. I'm not going to go too far down into that space because these are broad topics, of course. But it's important to provide opportunity to those who come from more challenging spaces. I think we know that. It's important to identify and develop talent in places that we may not normally look or where opportunity is normally not given to step into these roles. No more is that more important, I think, than in the travel, recreation, and leisure and hospitality industries. A diverse landscape in the workplace allows diverse understanding, not just in the workplace, but those with whom you deal. In the tourism world, of course, we're dealing with guests from all walks of life. People that are coming in to the establishments represent different geographic regions, different belief systems, different genders, different gender orientation, different ethnic backgrounds. This is kind of the nature of tourism, right? When I look at a place like New Orleans, and I'm just going to use this as an example, I think it applies broadly anywhere, but this is where we sit. Tourism here is the backbone of the economy.
in the city. It's incredibly important. We've talked a lot about that on the show. We have diverse communities within New Orleans, and we have diverse communities who come to see us in New Orleans. Sure, international tourists. It's a big international tourism destination. We have folks from the LGBTQ community, excuse me, that come here twice for two significant, I mean, all year round, but two significant major events. Pride Weekend, it's big here for that, and also Southern Decadence at the end of the summer. We have folks who come, persons of color who come, a big example, something we just talked about recently, geared more around an African-American female audience, Essence Festival, big festival that goes on here in July every year. So many events, so many things go on in a space of tourism like New Orleans that represents diversity in who comes to see us, and should, and necessarily so, has diversity in those who present the venues to them, those who present the hospitality to them, for the reasons that I just gave. We're more effective this way in dealing with our guests of diverse backgrounds if we, in our hospitality space, coming from behind the bar, if you will, are more diverse as well. This is a good business decision. In many ways, tourism and hospitality is where the rubber hits the road. Where else do we have so much interaction of members of the public coming into spaces to connect with our team, to connect with our spaces, our bars, our restaurants, our entertainment venues, than in tourism? It's really quite remarkable to think about, and that's why it's such an important space for diversity. There was a study that was done last year by a group called Owler, and they were talking about perceptions of the leadership teams in 17 different industries. Now, there's some limits here. Let's keep that in mind. They asked simply one question of 11,700 stakeholders basically addressing 1,100 unique organizations. They simply asked, do you think this company has a diverse leadership team? Now, there's some lack of clarity in some of the things that they said they specified in their methodology, mentioning women and minorities, for example. They did not specifically mention LGBTQ. Now, it could be that simply asking that question that many of the respondents took that into account, but I'm guessing maybe some didn't. But so let's keep in mind that it's not a huge study in number. It's sizable, but it also certainly has some limitations. And we are simply talking about perceptions of the leadership team. We're not talking about hard numbers or anything like that, but still an interesting study. And out of the 17 industries, travel, recreation, and leisure was ranked fourth. What they did is they created an algorithm that basically derived a percent different from the median and then ranked these organizations, coming in at plus 12.3% was actually retail. As I said, travel, recreation, and leisure, which was at plus 5.7%, was in fourth. Two is transportation and warehousing, and three is pharmaceuticals and biotechnology. Coming in at the bottom would be, for example, real estate and construction at negative 13.10%, telecom at negative 9.8%. Interestingly enough, number 14 out of 17, media and entertainment, negative 8.2%. And again, we're talking about leadership. We're not talking about regular employees, if you are more of the team. So let's keep that in mind. But point is that travel, recreation, and leisure is up there towards the top, number four of the 17 that they looked at. And for the reasons that I've just kind of laid out and many other reasons, it's necessarily so. It should be the case. Now, does that mean we can rest on our laurels? Absolutely not. We have a lot of work to do. We certainly know that true representation and radical inclusion is not the norm in most businesses, frankly, including in tourism. We know about the front of house and back of house divide, where more persons of color and persons from more challenging economic backgrounds are found in the back of the house, and those that are less disadvantaged are more often found in the front of house. So I'm not saying that tourism and the hospitality industry has solved these problems, but it is more progressive than other industries. And for what we were just talking about before, it should be. This makes good business sense. It's not only the ethical and moral thing to do, but it makes good business sense as well. It's sort of a win-win. I hate using that term, but it's something that's kind of true. It's the smart thing to do for business, and it's the right thing to do. So I want to revisit Chris Elford's quote from Navy Strength as they were walking off the stage. I'm going to broaden the scope of what he said just a little bit, but I'm going to use the principal words that he used. And he said, if you don't have women on your team, and I'm going to include persons of color, LGBTQ, well, you're just simply fucking it up. Friends, that's our parting shot. We're going to have a good show for you next week. More on that coming soon. Hope you tune in. Here's to you.